Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Tawas United Methodist Church. We're located at 20 East M55 in Tawas, Michigan. You're welcome to join us for worship Saturday evenings at 4 and Sunday mornings at 10. We're broadcasting live this morning from our sanctuary. I'm Pastor Chris Kapler, and we're so glad that you've joined us today. You may join our live broadcast at WIOSradio.com and by radio at 1480 AM. 106.9 FM, and you can also watch our live stream on Zoom, and Facebook, and YouTube, and links to these are found at our website, tawasumc.org. And remember, you can always learn more about us at our website, tawasumc.org. Please remember to take the registration of attendance pad in your pew and sign it. Let us know you're here. Pass it along to the people next to you so that we can communicate with one another if there's a special message you'd like to share with us, please do that there. We have a number of announcements this morning. Just begin with our weekend schedule. Every weekend, we start with men's morning prayer group at 8:30 on Saturdays and casual worship at 4. On Sundays, we have a Sunday school, children and adult at 9 o'clock and worship at 10. We do have an in-house food pantry. We want to remind you, if you are in need of any food items, it's in the narthex as you come in the front door, just before you go to the gymnasium. It's on the right. And our motto is give as you can and take as you need. So if you have a need, don't be shy. Go there and get what you need. And then on Monday, our ladies' Bible study at 11 a.m. On Tuesday, a busy day on Tuesday, April the 4th, United Methodist Women will meet at 1 o'clock, and Fish Organization meets at 2:30, our regular prayer meeting at 5 p.m., and a handbell choir at 6:15. And then Wednesday, middle of the week, we have our sanctuary choir practice at 5:45. I know you're excited about that. Okay. And then the Lenten series, The Chosen Movie, will be on episode 6 of season 3 this Wednesday. And then there's a crafts opportunity that's now meeting regularly on Thursdays. So Thursday, at April 6th at 2 p.m., come and explore your interest in crafts or bring samples. And if you'd like to know more about that, please contact Marilyn Denoff or Sally Nagy, and you can always contact our office for information about how to get in contact with them. This Thursday, this is Maundy Thursday. This is Holy Week. It's very special, probably the most special week of the year. And Maundy Thursday, we have a communion service here in this sanctuary at 7 p.m., remembering the words of Christ at the Last Supper. That's Thursday night. Friday, we have our IOSCO Ministerial Association Good Friday service. This is our community ecumenical service. It'll be held at House of Faith Church, 214 East Adams Street, at 12:30. Just a reminder that when we have our Ministerial Association special worship services on Good Friday and Thanksgiving and so forth, this is where the offerings will go to support our community chaplain, who provides 4 services every Sunday, or every week, I should say. One of them is on Thursday, at our nursing homes. And it's a very important ministry. We want to keep going. Saturday, next Saturday, men's morning prayer will not be in observance of Holy Saturday. Just thought I'd mention that. A note to the children. Children, this is the first Sunday of the month, so we won't have the young Christian moment. I won't be inviting the children to come up. And I would like, if you're a young person, before you go to junior church this morning, please stick around while Tricia King has some special music for us. So please stay in the congregation until she finishes her song, and then we'll let you go to junior church. We got a bulletin insert this morning. It says voting wisdom. I have this wisdom. Just a reminder, if you don't know by now that we're going to have a vote on April 13th, please check your mail. Only members can vote, so it'll be Thursday, the 13th of April, at 7 o'clock. Get here before 7, because I do think they'll shut the doors at 7. That's what they said. We should have coffee at 6:15 or something like that. The ballot will have 3. three options. This bulletin insert will be given out next week as well, because I think it's important for people to understand. There's three options. I approve of disaffiliation. That means I want to leave the United Methodist denomination. Second one, I do not approve of disaffiliation, which means I want to remain in the United Methodist denomination. The third one, I abstain. Some people think that means it's neutral, but it's not neutral. Because a vote to abstain is counted in the final tally, which means that if you want to disaffiliate, you'll have to have more approved votes, because we do count the abstain votes. That's all explained here. If you have any questions, please ask. Just want to help people vote with the best information they have to vote with. With that, I would like to take a moment and invite Harold and Diane Knight, if you would come. Harold and Diane are going to come and share their personal testimony this morning. You can stand anywhere you want, as long as there's a microphone there, but this podium is available here, or you have a microphone there. That's good. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We just want you to know that we have been members of this church. We started in Tawa City, went to East Tawa, and then came here and built this church. This is where we have learned, along with our bringing up in our own churches as kids, to love the Bible, to love Jesus, and to care about the people around us. I have been involved in music from a long time, and I can't imagine not having this as we want to have it and to sing our own songs. I don't know what they want to change, but I myself do not want to change. And I definitely am voting yes. And on the vote that you're going to get, it's definitely the first line. So look at one and go from there. But bless you all. And as you make your decision, God will be with you.
Thank you, honey. I want to clarify that. We've been members for over 50 years, probably. It's the longest members that Howard Burnett might have in the case. We're close. But I just want to make it very clear that we believe in the Bible that we've been brought up with all of our life. And I believe very strongly in the, unfortunately, Christians, but the disaffiliation. Diane and I, we've talked about it, we've prayed about it, I've done research on it. But we just wanted to tell you that we are going to vote to disaffiliate with the United Methodist Church. Just because of where they're going, and of course, you know the whole world is changing. It's not just our little church. This is all across America and across the world. And everybody, it seems like, starts getting their own ideas that they can change things. You know, and God made it very clear to us that there is no change in His Word. It's written, it's for us, it's the one we go to when we're in trouble or thinking about something. What is the best way that I should do this or approach this? We've always gone to His Word. So if we're going to change it, we might as well tear those pages out of the Bible. And I'm not going to stand by and let that happen in my little way that I possibly can help do it. So I'm not asking you to vote one way or another. I'm just asking you to vote. You have to vote with your own heart, your own conscience, and talk to our Lord about it to give you direction. But I just wanted you to know we came back early this year because we wanted to be part of that vote. But we also wanted to get a chance to tell you that as some of the longest members of this church, that's how strongly we feel about this. and our entire family. As you know, our church had a breakup 10 years ago. We thought, well, the people said we're not going to make it. But we've made it. We're stronger today than we've ever been. And we'll be stronger in the future when we're long gone because of the fact of some of the decisions we made. And I think of our little ones. You know, I want to keep Jesus loves me. This is what the Bible tells me. So I want it to mean something and be real. And I want that next generation to be able to enjoy the same life that we've been able to enjoy in the freedom of practicing our religious beliefs. So again, like I said, I'm not selling anything. I'm not trying to tell you to vote one way or another. I'm just saying, look at the ballot very closely. I know that line one is the one that Harold Diana voted for. Okay. And you have to vote. It's like that privilege of being able to vote for the presidential elections. You know, you go in that booth and you sign it and you vote it. And that's what you're going to be doing there. Okay. Thank you for allowing Diana and I to spend some time with you to share. Like I said, we've been through Taos City Church. We joined them in East Taos Church. We joined the United Methodist Church as part of the program. We had a very strong discussion when we decided to where we're going to build a church at. And that was not easy when you're looking at two different towns and you're looking at determining what would be the best site to build a church. But I think God led us here. We have a fantastic building and grounds, and we will own that as a church. If you don't today, we're here, but we will own it after we disaffiliate. And just to have this building and to be able to sit here and look around the mall, that means a lot to all of us. So again, thank you for allowing us to share with you this week.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing together. Hymn number 280. It's All Glory, God, and Honor.
Children, made sweet. I will read the light, granted, you will read the dark. Hosanna, let us shout together.
Hosanna!
We shout with glad voices because it means save us.
We cry out, save us, to the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
We plead for God to save us from all that seeks to separate us from Him.
We ask God to save us because only God is able.
Hosanna, we give thanks and extol God's holy name. For the Lord is good,
God's steadfast love endures forever. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. We go to our time of prayer now. Please prepare your hearts and minds together with me as we seek the Lord. We will pray the Lord's Prayer later in our communion service part of the service. So we'll just begin with silent prayer and then I'll close with the pastoral prayer. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we join our hearts together now and come before your throne in prayer, especially on this very special Palm Sunday, we celebrate that last week of Jesus' life on earth before he was crucified and was raised from the dead. We remember the truths that were taught during that week, such powerful truths, and how they impact our lives to this very day, and even guide us in how to live. Father, we live in a world that desperately needs you. We live in a country that is doing their very best to ignore you and to cast you out of society, the marketplace, the educational realms, and social media. And we give you praise because you are powerful. You are the King forever. Your kingdom will never end. Everything else will pass away, but the kingdom that you have initiated already will exist forever. And so, Father, we lift up to you our lives, our nation, our world, and all the difficult things that are going on. There's earthquakes, there's floods, there's wars, there's people recovering from such terrible things. We've got friends and family in the hospital. Those among us are even mourning this morning the passing of friends and family. Father, meet us at our deepest and greatest needs and bring us to the cross, the place of healing, and bring us to the empty tomb, the resurrection, the place of rejoicing and victory, so that we can live our lives in such a way that others will know that there is a God in heaven who loves us and wants us to follow him and enjoy his peace forever. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
in Jerusalem that day. The soldiers tried to clear that narrow stream, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head, and he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the Way of Suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose los soldados le abrieron paso a Jesús, mas la gente se acercaba para ver a que iba a Jesús.
I love to hear things I would ask.
Humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of the donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "You hear what these are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?'" He left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We've been looking at the topic of revival the last few weeks, and it's quite a challenge to continue that topic when we get into the special holiday weekends. But you've noticed that I've entitled the message, "Is This a Revival?" Because when you look at Palm Sunday and Jesus on a donkey and the people waving the palm branches and throwing their cloaks down on the road, it probably is a moment in the history or the history of Scripture that looks more like a revival in terms of what we might think a revival would look like. You know, people are doing all these wonderful things. They're shouting Hosanna in the highest, and we have in our mind, least typically understood, many people think of a revival as a special worship service when everyone's really happy and praising the Lord. Actually, a revival is not that at all. A revival is God working a miraculous work in people who maybe at once believed, and their belief has cooled down and maybe is even waning and flickering, and God brings that belief back to life and makes it strong, and it touches every part of life. So it's much more than an event or a worship service itself. So when we look at scriptures, it's always helpful to kind of first read through the scripture and see what pops out. There's things that we notice first. And as we notice those things in scripture, then we look more deeply and see, what is this text really teaching us today? So I'd like to begin this morning just by noticing a few things in the passage that Jan read this morning. First of all, we see that Jesus and his disciples are coming towards Jerusalem. They pass into and through these two little, teeny little villages, Bethany and Bethphage. They're really small villages. I don't even think they would qualify as suburbs of Jerusalem. They're just kind of little villages on the way. And there's not much spoken about Bethphage, but Bethany was a very interesting little place. Some important things took place there. And so I'd like to notice Bethany this morning, because in Bethany, you remember, if you read in the book of Mark, that's where Jesus went to dinner at the house of Simon the leper. And it was at Simon the leper's house when the woman came in with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume and broke the jar and poured it on Jesus' head. And the people said, what a waste, that could have been given to the poor. Not that they typically gave to the poor, but that's what how they criticized her. And Jesus said, no, she was anointing my body for burial. Second thing is Lazarus and his sisters. Lazarus, Mary, Martha, they lived in Bethany. And it was there that Lazarus was raised from the dead. Do you think anybody in Bethany missed that? They didn't have to have news or cable TV. They all knew it. I say that because Jesus could not walk through villages like Bethany and Bethphage without people knowing and saying, that's the Messiah. He's the one who came to save us. Something else about Bethany we learned from John chapter 12. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there in Bethany, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus Christ. I say all of this because, it looks like a revival is going on here, but we look at the text most carefully. More than anything, this is Jesus Christ orchestrating his entrance into Jerusalem in such a way that he's declaring to the whole world, I'm the king. I'm the promised prophet of Moses. I'm God himself. Deal with it. Either you can love me or crucify me, but you can't be neutral with me. So it's really more of a statement of who Jesus is rather than an actual revival among God's people. And the statement calls you and me to respond. What's your response to this person, this historical figure that claims to be your king and your God? Palm Sunday is the beginning of the most important week of the year, most important week in human history. And we are asked to respond. Think about this for just a minute. These books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, commonly called the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew talks about Palm Sunday in chapter 21. The last week of Jesus' life goes all the way through chapter 28. The last chapters of Matthew are all about one week. Chapter 21 through 28. Go to the book of Luke. Palm Sunday is in chapter 19. And the last week of Jesus' life is chapters 19 through 24. Same thing in book of Mark. Mark, Palm Sunday happens in chapter 11. And the last chapters, all the way up through chapter 16, is the last week of Jesus' life. How about John? In John, Palm Sunday is in chapter 12 out of 21. John uses all of those verse chapter 12 through 21, almost half the book, the last week of Jesus' life. Do you think maybe God's got a message for us in the last week of Jesus' life? I think it's a message we need to listen to. It's a message our society needs to listen to. It's a message our denomination needs to listen to. This is Jesus, first and foremost, your king, Scripture says, this is your king. He comes gentle, but he's coming. And you can't avoid it. You can't deny it. And we need to respond to that. It says that Jesus comes gentle or humble, but I would say it doesn't say he comes modestly. There's nothing modest about Jesus coming and saying, I'm the king. Not too many people do that. Genesis 49 is a prophecy about this. Genesis chapter 49, verses 10 and 11. This is where, if you read the end of the book of Genesis, this is where Jacob, you know, the patriarch Jacob, blesses all of his 12 sons. And some of those blessings aren't really that, you know, that wonderful. Some of them are pretty bad. But when he gets to Judah, he blesses Judah, and he says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and the obedience of the peoples is his. Binding his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. It's a reference to the coming Messiah. Also in one of the smaller prophets, Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9, Zechariah wrote, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He's coming to you, and you must respond. How will you respond? How many kings ride donkeys? Doesn't happen, does it? Kings come, especially victorious kings, come on horses. And they're surrounded by valiant warriors. This is a king who comes alone, and he is sitting on a donkey. He has no weapon. I think it looks very obvious that Jesus comes vulnerable. If he's expecting to get into a battle, he should be expecting to be slaughtered. And you know that's what's going to happen on Good Friday. But Jesus comes vulnerable, and what he does here is he shows us that when we are weak, he is strong. God's victory does not come through human strength or power. God's victory comes through love and vulnerability. I don't think Palm Sunday's entrance into Jerusalem would fit very well. I don't think it would work very well in some of the modern day video games, you know, those video war games. I mean, you can even, the younger kids know this better than I do, but some of the older ones I need to explain it to. I mean, on today's video games, you can even decide how graphic you want it. You can even click buttons and decide how much blood you want to see when they kill each other and poke each other and shoot each other. Yeah. It's all violence. Absolute violence. That's what your children are learning, if you didn't realize it already. Jesus didn't win through violence. He won through vulnerability. He won through fulfilling prophecy. He won through obeying the Father. He won through self-sacrifice. He gave himself. Don't ever look at Palm Sunday and Easter and Good Friday. Don't ever look at it and feel sorry for Jesus. Jesus orchestrated this. He controlled the situation. He knew it was happening, and it was by his will that he went to the cross. The question is, what will you do about it? You can slaughter him, or you can worship him. But he's the king. And then, the people were all asking, it was a tumult. People were wondering, who is this guy? And the people were saying, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. And again, how do we respond to that? Those were Jews. This was kind of on the border between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And everybody knew, an Old Testament prophet, there were some qualifications. And one of the main qualifications is that if an Old Testament prophet is a genuine prophet, they will speak the word of God and it will come true. And if it doesn't come true, they will be put to death. So already Jesus has made this great, bold statement, I'm the king. And I'm not just the king of Israel. I'm the promised king that King David, about 1,000 years ago, King David said would come. I am the descendant of David, the king who rightfully sits on the throne of David, the eternal king. I'm him. That's not modest, by the way. Now he's saying, I'm the prophet. I am the prophet. That means if I say it and it doesn't come true, you have every right to put me to death. Everything Jesus said has come true. Everything. Nobody has been able to refute Jesus' words to this day. Oh, yes, there's all kinds of people who will tell you, there's all kinds of mistakes in the Bible. Oh, the Bible's wrong here, the Bible's wrong there. How many of you, if you're one of those people, or how many of those people, have ever considered the claims that Jesus made? Consider what Jesus claimed and how they have come true, and then deal with your thoughts about inaccuracies of Scripture, and you'll find that they're not inaccurate, but they're true. Thirdly, this is Jesus, who after he came in on the donkey, he got off the donkey, went to the temple. Now, whose house is the temple? Whose house is the temple? If you were to ask a Jew, I'm a stranger, I'm a visitor here in Jerusalem, whose house is the temple? They would say, oh, silly. Obviously, it's God's house. And that's what temples are for. You can go visit the temple of Zeus in that part of the world. You can go visit the temple of different gods. You can go visit, you can't go visit the temple in Jerusalem because it was destroyed. But you can go to the temple in those days and it's the house of God. And Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer for all nations. My house. He's not just saying I'm the king. He's not just saying I'm the prophet. He's saying I'm God, and he's saying deal with it. It means something to you. You can fall down and worship me, or you can slaughter me. What will you do? There is no intermediate place. You can't sit back in the stands and the bleachers and say, yeah, he looks like the king to me. I think he is the king. He does a pretty good job of being king. Yeah, I think the things he says are true. In fact, you know, I think maybe even I'll go to church sometime and say, he's the king. If Jesus is king, there are only certain ways that we should respond. Obedience, worship, and telling other people about him. But he gives us these options. He said, he didn't say this, but basically he's saying, you can either crucify me or you can worship me. Now, there's one more thing I'd like to say about Jesus. He is the unexpected Messiah. God is so strong. He's almighty, right? And great that he can even derive praise from children, infants, little children. That's what we see there. The children are shouting, Hosanna. And Jesus says, from the mouths of babes, you have ordained praise for yourself. Actually, when Jesus said that, he was quoting David. David wrote that in the Psalms. And I wonder what David, who originally wrote that, what he was thinking about. Could he have been thinking about Moses? You remember Moses back in Egypt when the Pharaoh wanted to kill all the little babies and Moses' mother put tar in a little basket, put Moses in the basket and floated him on the river. And Pharaoh's daughter found Moses. She opened up the top of the basket. There was this little baby floating in the river, and he was crying. That little baby Moses brought down Egypt. Out of the mouths of infants, you have ordained praise. The little children, I wonder today about the cries of the aborted children. Our society doesn't even think one moment about the fact that God hears those cries and God will act. Something to think about, food for thought. God often chooses what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Paul echoes some of the same themes in his second letter to Corinthians. He explains how God places his powerful gospel in fragile, limited vessels, talking about us. We are vessels for the gospel. And he does that for his own glory. So how do we respond to this Jesus Christ He's the King. He's the Prophet. He's God Almighty. He's the unexpected Messiah. And he comes to us and he says, you can do with me as you want, but you cannot be neutral with me. It's impossible. Either you are worshiping him and following him, or you are rejecting him. That's the message of Palm Sunday, and it just gets more intense as we go toward Easter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It comes to us in ways that feel very uncomfortable sometimes, but it comes. Help us, Lord. Change us, transform us, and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ushers, would you please come with the morning offering? Praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection. You gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ is Lord. Amen. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory. And we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, with confidence of children of God, let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.